My title for this morning is Simple Faith Brings Great Results. Simple faith equals great results. How many like great results? Okay, so let me give you some pointers here. Let me take you to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. It's something that I want to unlock this morning. And it's around the whole subject of faith. And so I just want to bring some revelation to you this morning that you can chew upon and that you can apply that in your own lives and see the goodness of God coming to you. So Hebrews 11 and verse 6 tells us, it's a key verse, underline it if you haven't done it as yet. You can never please God without faith. Fact, you can never please God without faith. And it says there, without depending on him. Anyone who wants to come to God must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely look for him. He rewards whom? Those who sincerely look for him. And we know countless times where people have sincerely looked for God, looked for Jesus, and they have found him. And the story goes to say of Paul going to Damascus. Paul was going to persecute the Christians on the road to Damascus. What happened? He was met by Jesus. You remember the story? He was met by Jesus. And one encounter with Jesus changed his entire course of life. And so we must believe that God exists. If you speak to somebody and they say, I don't believe that God exists, it's very difficult to convince him that God exists. He has to believe that God exists. It's a bit like gravity. You got to believe that there is gravity, correct? If you try to convince somebody there is no gravity, it's very difficult. He's got to believe that you can't see gravity, can you? How about the air we breathe? You can't see the air we breathe, can you? You can know it's blowing because you feel it on your face, you feel it on your body, but you can't see it. And it's the same principle with somebody who does not want to believe in God. It's difficult to convince him unless God does a supernatural work and brings a revelation to him. So what is faith or what is belief? Hebrews 11 and 1 tells us this. Hebrews 11 and verse 1. So what is faith? It is the confident assurance that something we want is going to happen. So it's going to happen. It hasn't happened yet. But it's a confident assurance that something we want is going to happen. It is the certainty that what we hope for is waiting for us, even though we cannot see it up ahead. This morning, when I prayed for those with job, who needed jobs, what was I doing? I was activating my faith. Do they have that job? No. But I am believing and activating my faith and I have the confident assurance that something they want is going to happen. That is faith. It hasn't happened yet, but I believe and have the assurance that what I'm praying for is going to come to pass. That is faith. That is what you cannot see yet, but you believe in your heart because you know through Jesus you can. You know that with Jesus you can. And so your faith, when it's in Jesus, you're able to look at some things that you want in the future and say, God, I'm declaring those things now because I know and have the confidence that you will bring it to pass in my life. I don't have it now, but I can see it. And whilst I see it, I'm going to declare it and trust you to bring it to pass at the right time, at the right season. What is faith? Is being certain of what we do not see. It's being certain of what we do not see. Faith is also connecting power into the spiritual realm. It's the connecting power into the spiritual realm which links us with God and makes Him become a tangible reality in our lives. Faith is the basic ingredient to begin a relationship with God. Without faith, you cannot please God. It has to be there. That's the most basic ingredient that you need. What is faith? It's simply putting your trust in God. It's a bit like this. It's a bit like I put my trust in my wife. I believe in her. I know that she's there for me. There is no doubt about that. And the same way I believe in my God, I have no doubts about my God. I know He's there for me all the time. Even when I go through the difficult times in life, and we all go through it, just because I'm the pastor doesn't mean that I'm exempt from going through trials and tribulations and stuff that happens in real life. I do go through seasons in my life where things I had to fight, because we are fighting the good fight of faith. We're fighting the good fight of faith. What is faith? It's the assurance or the confidence that something we want is going to happen. A Christian trusts in God. The scientific, the atheist, has faith in science. If an atheist uses the scientific method to discover a medicine and then takes that medicine, he's in a sense exercising some degree of faith. Why? Because he trusts in the data. He trusts that the medicine will cure him, not poison him. I'm in the pharmaceutical field, as most of you know, and I deal with medicines every day, and I talk to doctors every day. That's what I do. And so I know that the medicines that come from my company, they're genuine, they're high quality, they have been processed correctly, they have been manufactured under the very most strictest conditions, they have been authenticated, they have a license to be prescribed in this country. And so we know that when we take a tablet for, let's say, for high blood pressure, for example, you know that when you take that tablet, you can trust that tablet to lower your blood pressure, correct? If not, why take it? Right? Am I right? Your son, you can say hello, hi, say hi, Sam. You're preaching well. Good, okay, give me some encouragement this morning. Okay, and so the basic ingredient for a Christian is faith. A Christian always has faith in God. Why have faith? Because it's an absolute foundational necessity to have a relationship with God. See, this is the thing. Christianity, I know they equate it with all other religions, but it is not a religion. Let me tell you why. It is a relationship with God. With the true God. It's a relationship. What is religion? Religion is man searching for God. But the opposite happened in Christianity. God searched for man. God came down to man. In religion, man is searching for God. And man is doing all sorts of things to search for God and to get to God. But God said, nah, you can't come to a holy God like me. I've got to do something else. I've got to send my son Jesus. He's got to die on the cross. He's got to take away the sin of the world upon himself. And by his righteous act and his righteousness, I am able to reconcile or bring people back to me. And that's what God did. When other religions say, do this and do that and do that and do that, and by somehow you will get to God, God says, no, I'm sending my son to you. And if you believe in him, you will have eternal life. Amen. The verse in John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he did what? He gave his only son, that whoever, say whoever, that's the atheist as well. That's anyone from anywhere. Whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. What a promise. What a promise that God gives us this morning, that God came down to us. And we don't have to do stuff to attain something to be in God's presence. God's presence came to us and resided in us. Isn't that amazing? His power, Jesus resides where? Not in the cosmos. He's in you by his Spirit. That is why we have boldness. That is why we can pray in the name of Jesus. That is why we can lay hands on the sick and believe God that that person will recover. That's why we can speak a miracle into somebody's life. Why? Because we have faith and the confidence and the assurance that God is able to bring about that which we are praying for and believing for, because we know God is alive today. He's not someone dead. He's not someone from the past. He's not a historical figure. He's not a figment of our imagination. But God is real, the real Jesus. He is real. And that's why we are here this morning, because God is real in us. Hallelujah. You can shout hallelujah. Come on, church, get alive this morning, because the presence of God is in you. Tell your neighbor, come on, get alive this morning. God's presence is in you. Have a shout unto God this morning. Religion says you find God by doing good things and sacrificing things. Christianity says God finds you and gives you life freely. Hallelujah. Religion says you have to clean yourself up before approaching God. Christianity says come as you are with all your sin and filthiness, and the blood of Jesus will cleanse you from all that is unclean. Hallelujah. Amen. Wow, that's an amazing gospel, isn't it? Let's look at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8 and verses 1 to 4. Here's a story of Jesus. If you read Matthew's Gospel 5 to 7, it's the Sermon on the Mount. Haven't you have some time, read Matthew's Gospel from chapters 5 through to 8 and through to 7. That's the Sermon on the Mount. So Jesus, after having preached for many days on the mountain, he is now coming down. And a large crowd followed Jesus as he came down the hillside. And look, a leper, say leper. Look, a leper is approaching. He kneels before Jesus, worshiping, and he says, "Sir," the leper pleads, "if you want to, you can heal me." Verse 3, Jesus touches the man. "I want to," he says, "be healed." And instantly, the leprosy disappears. Then Jesus says to him, "Don't stop to talk to anyone. Go right over to the priest to be examined, and take with you the offering required by Moses' law for lepers who are healed, a public testimony of your cure." He had to go back to the priest to show himself, because lepers were people who were ostracized from society. What an incredible story. Isn't that an incredible story? A leper coming to Jesus. Says, "Sir, I want, if you want, you can heal me." Jesus says, "Yes, I want to heal you." Bang, he gets healed and he has to show himself. What an amazing story. What incredible faith. What incredible faith. See, lepers were not accepted in that society. They were outcasts. They were untouchables. They were deemed unclean. If they came into any public, they'd shout, "Unclean, unclean, unclean." And people will suddenly disappear. They'll dissipate quickly because they don't want to be near somebody who is unclean. But this one leper had the courage to come to Jesus. He did not look at his leprosy. He did not allow his rejection to keep him away from his miracle. Hallelujah. Did not give up on life just because he was an outcast. He did not give up on life. He did not look at his situation. This leper, he had faith to believe that if he could get to Jesus, something could happen. If he could just get to Jesus, something could happen. This leper, imagine that. He's an outcast, correct? He's got to say, "Unclean, unclean, unclean." Imagine coming through a crowd. Now it says crowds are following Jesus, correct? Imagine having to come through that crowd. Position, picture yourself, picture that leper, someone unclean. Can you imagine what people would have told him? What they would have called him? You know, the cruel remarks, the rude comments, the name calling that they would have poured upon him. But yet, he was willing through it all to come to Jesus. Simple faith brought great results to this one man. And today your simple faith in Jesus can bring about great results. I wonder how desperate we are to meet with Jesus. How desperate are we for a miracle from Jesus? And here's the question. Are we willing to cut through the jeering, the sneering, the shame, the embarrassment, the name calling to come to Jesus? I remember in school, obviously I grew up in a Christian home, I went to church and I was quite involved in Sunday school and grew up in that atmosphere. And of course in school they knew that, you know, I was a Christian. They knew that I was different. My friends used to call me all sorts of names. And one of the names they called me was Holy Priest when I was in school. Somebody used to call me a Pentecostal polecat. I don't know how that happened, but I used to play in a brass band at the church, and I used to play the second cornet, so they used to call me Trumpet. The point I was trying to make is people will call you names. People will say all sorts of things about you. The question is, how desperate are you to meet with Jesus? How desperate are you to keep your faith alive in Jesus? Because the enemy comes in a very subtle way to discourage you. He brings disappointment one after the other. How many know that moment you make a commitment for Jesus, everything in your world goes upside down? How many have had that? The moment you decide to do something for Jesus, everything in your world turns the other way around. Why? Because the enemy does not want you to encounter the power of Jesus. And so he will bring disappointment after disappointment, voices telling you, you made a foolish decision. You are stupid and silly to call upon the name of Jesus. He's not alive. He's dead. He's gone. Why are you calling upon him? He'll bring doubt and unbelief. But you and I who have faith in Jesus, that's the time we got to rise up in our faith and say, God, I believe in you. I believe that what you have put in me is well able to keep me and well able to sustain me. And no matter what opposition I face, I know that I know that I know that my God is for me. And if my God is for me, who can come up against me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can clap again. I tell you, man, this preaching is good. It was obvious that this leper would have heard much about Jesus. He would have heard about all the miracles of Jesus. And you know what? He was determined. He said, he must have thought, I want my miracle. I want my miracle. I don't want to stay in this state that I am. And I pray this morning that you and I, we will not be settled in the way that we are. We will not be settled with the problems that we are in. But we will say, I want to get out of my situation. I'm going to put my faith in God. And I'm going to declare into myself that I'm coming out of this situation in the name of Jesus. Because if we are willing to just stay and sit where we are, we will always stay where we are. But the moment we make up our minds and say, right, I know God has a better plan for me. This plan is not for me. God has a better plan for me. Why? In Jeremiah 29 and verse 11, he says, God's plans for you are much better. They're not plans to destroy you. They're not plans to cause you any harm. But God has an amazing good plan for you. Tell that to your neighbor. God has an amazing plan. Don't settle for less. Don't settle for the mediocre. Don't settle for the less. Settle for what God has for you. I wonder how tenacious we are to get to Jesus today. Scripture tells us that faith without any action is useless. We can say we have faith, 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 But if we do not do anything about our faith, it only remains a faith in our heads, not having any output or action at all. If the leper, having heard about Jesus, did not take any action of getting to Jesus, he would never have discovered his healing. He would never have discovered his miracle. He had faith, but he had to do something about it. You and I might have faith this morning, but we got to stir it up and say, God, I'm going to go out on a limb and I'm going to put my faith out there and say, God, if you are real, then I want you to meet my need. I want you to put you to the test. And I want to say, God, if you are real, I want you to meet me at my point of need. But that's got to come out of you coming to a place of, I'm not going to settle for the mediocre. I want something better because, God, you have promised me your best. There are many today who know about Jesus. They talk a good talk about Jesus. But the question is, do they know him? The question is, do we know Jesus? Let me put it this way. We all know about our queen, correct? How many know we have a queen in this country? If you don't know, you have a problem. We know who she is. And we know of all the great things that she does every day. But until we actually meet her in person, we can never say that we know her. Until we meet her in person, we can never say we know the Queen. How do you get to know a person? By spending time with them. You cannot know Jesus if you're not willing to get to know him and spend time with him. Spending time on a Sunday, that's good, but that ain't good enough. It has got to be a daily walk with Jesus. How many of us open our Bibles every day and say, God, speak to me? How many of us get on our knees or stand or sit in the morning and say, God, I just want to praise you. I just want to thank you for this day. God is a God of relationships. That's why he created us, to have fellowship with him and enjoy that relationship with him. The leper's faith in Jesus prompted him to take action. Our faith in Jesus must prompt us to do something. This morning I activated my faith on behalf of some of you here. My faith, if I stood here and just spoke about faith and did nothing, you would look at me and say, you are a hypocrite. You talk about faith, but you're not willing to step out of your boat and believe God for a miracle, correct? What am I saying here this morning? That our faith must prompt us to do something. If we say we are Christians, then we must show the world through our actions what living for Christ is all about, not through talk. But through our actions, through our behaviors, the world needs to see there is something different about this person. If they cannot identify you as somebody who is set apart out of the stuff that they routinely do, there is a problem. They got to know that somehow you are with them, you're friends with them, but you're not involved or indulging in the stuff, in some of the things that they indulge in. Why? Because you have a change of heart and a change in your attitude, because Christ has impacted your life. And when Christ has impacted your life, the things of sin are no more attractive to you. And so when you meet up, when you go out with friends, you go up to a certain point that you cannot go beyond that. I remember when I was in my previous company, we have national conferences, and then teams go out in the evening. They say, right, here we are, you're given X amount of money. You can take your team, go out, you know, do something, go and have dinner, etc., etc. And so we were a team of about 8, I think, of people. And of course, you know, none of them knew Jesus. I knew Jesus. And they said, let's go to a strip club. I said, sorry, I can't. If you want, you can go, but I can't. I can't come to that. And so I had to take a stand and say, that's not a place where I go to. That's not something I get indulge myself in. Another time, it was a Halloween party. Here's a good one. And obviously, Halloween, you know, the company has a big party. We were away. We were in Southern Ireland, actually, and in this lovely hotel. And so the theme was Halloween. And so I told my team, I said, look, you can dress up with all the outfits you want and look gory and bloody and frightful and devilish. I said, I'm not doing that. I can't do that. They're a bit shocked. I said, come on, it's just a thing. It's just. I said, no, it's not just a thing. I said, why would I honor something that's dead, something that's devilish, something that's ghoulish, something that's hideous? Why would I honor it? Why would I want to dress up in it? Why? Why would I want to celebrate something that's dead, something that relates to death and destruction? You see them going around with this, what do you call the sickles and these axes, and you know, I think, what good is that? With blood on it, what's the message that we're giving? It's good to kill, correct? Because there's blood on the end of it. That's good to kill. We can kill on Halloween. So I said, no. They said, what shall we do? I said, let's go as cowboys. I said, what? I said, yeah, let's get cowboys. So we were the only team of 8 people who were at that event as cowboys. Oh, praise God. But you know something? The reason I say this is because we have to take a stand for Jesus. We got to tell the world, hey, look, you know, I can come with you up to this point, but I can't cross this line. You know, I can't get on the other side. If you want, you can, but I ain't going there. But if you want, you can come with me. And so we all went as cowboys. When you stand for your faith, you know, people admire that. It's not good to just be part of the crowd. Sometimes you've got to stand out from the crowd and say, hey, I know who I believe in. I don't have to get involved in all of that for my enjoyment, for my pleasure. God just gives me joy. God just gives me immeasurable joy. I don't need that to satisfy me. I have God to satisfy me. Hallelujah. You can shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Be glad to call yourself a Christian. Be glad to say, tell somebody you have faith in Jesus. Why? Because it is a living experience. As Christians, we have opportunities every day to put our faith into action. And so we should put our faith into action. Never bypass any opportunity that comes your way to show and share your faith in Jesus. Why? Because He is the real thing. Jesus said He's the way, He's the truth, and He is the life. No man comes to the Father except through Jesus. The only way is through Jesus. Why? Because only Jesus died for you and me on the cross. Nobody else did it. Only He paid the price. He atoned, means paid the price. He paid a penalty for us, for our sin. Eternal life has been promised through Jesus. And all we have to do is say, Jesus, I believe in you. I accept you into my life. We don't have to go, as I was saying, someone recently talking to them this week, we don't have to go and pay penance anywhere, go and go to, you know, some gathering somewhere, or go and pay lots of money to some place, or go and, you know, sit under something. No, all we have to do is just as we are, where we are, say, Jesus, I acknowledge you as my Lord and my Savior, and a miracle happens in your life. Hallelujah. Isn't that amazing? What an amazing God we have. When you have faith in Jesus, when you put your trust in Jesus, you have a changed nature. In other words, your natural sinful instincts are gone, and a new nature has come into you. And in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, we read this. It says, if any man, say any man, or woman, when the Bible talks about man, it covers the women as well. So if any man or woman be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. See, you can know a person who is in the new creation of Christ and they don't indulge in the things of the former love, their former life, then you know they're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Going to church does not make you a Christian. Let me say that again. Going to church does not make you a Christian. Taking water baptism does not make you a Christian. Neither is taking Holy Communion make you a Christian. Only genuine faith and trust in Jesus can bring about a transformation in your life. None of the other things. So here's my question. What faith actions are we going to put into practice this week? That's a challenge. What faith actions are you going to put into practice this week? How are you going to show your family and friends that your faith is alive in you? That faith in Jesus is alive in you. As an act of faith, here's another challenge. How many of us are going to invite someone to come here next Sunday? How many of us are going to say, hey, why don't you just come with me? Why don't you, if you have to go and pick them up, let's do that. But let's by faith say, God, I want to bring somebody to your house. I want them to hear your word. As an act of faith, let's do that. Can we? As an act of faith, say, Lord, give me somebody that I could bring. There's a scripture in Matthew 17 and verse 20. It says this, if you had faith as small as a mustard seed. You know how big a mustard seed is? Tiny seed. He said, you can look at your mountain standing in front of you and command it to move. Does he say you need big faith? No, mustard seed faith. You need some degree of faith and trust in Jesus. And you can say to your situation, get out of my way. Because I'm coming in the name of Jesus. Just a little faith will bring great results. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, which you're doing now, and hearing through the word of Christ. Romans 10 and verse 17. How does faith come? When you hear and keep hearing the word. What am I preaching? The word. What am I putting out there? God's eternal word. A word that brings life and encouragement. And you say, wow, this man Jesus is amazing. I need to get into grips with him. I need to listen to this guy who's shouting from the frontier. And he's so passionate about Jesus. I need to do something about it just because he's passionate. Come on now. You can go out there and be passionate for God during this week. Would you like to get to know this Jesus? How many would like to get to know this Jesus? Would you like to put your faith in this Jesus? And here's how you can do it. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 says, for all have sinned. Yeah, look at your neighbor and say, that's you too. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So we are all in the same place. We start from the same baseline. All have sinned and fall short of God's goodness, God's glory. Sin, what does sin mean? It means missing the mark, the perfect standard that God has set for us. And the penalty for missing the mark or the penalty for sin is death. Can't put it any other way. I can't sugarcoat it. The penalty for sin is death. I didn't say it. The Bible says that. Romans 6, 23 tells us this, for the wages or the pay packet or the payment for sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I like the word but. The wages of sin is death, but God's gift brings eternal life through Jesus. We deserve to die. We deserve to live a life separated from God forever. But God did something about that by sending Jesus. So the message doesn't end there. Christ died for us. And God says in Romans 5 and verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. He didn't wait for us to become perfect. While we were yet in our sin, in our disappointments, in our stuff that we were going through, Jesus said, I will die for them anyway, because I want to save as many as I can. His desire is that all men would be saved from what? Saved from death and destruction. Jesus died in our place. It didn't end there. 3 days later, he rose from the dead. We're going to celebrate Easter soon. That's a celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, proving that sin had been conquered. And the greatest news is this. In Ephesians 2, it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. There we are. That's that word again. It's through faith, to build, through believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that Jesus Christ came to die for you on the cross, that Jesus Christ has taken away your sin and has given you eternal life. It is a gift of God. Not, we cannot work for it. We cannot earn it. We cannot buy it. It is a gift. What's a gift? A gift is free, correct? If I'm giving you something and I say, okay, you have to pay me for it, that ain't no gift, no matter how well you wrap it up. If I give you something and I say, that's a gift, I don't ask anything back from you because it's for you. And that's the same thing. Grace, the gift that God says, that grace is a gift that God gives us. We cannot buy it or earn it. Isn't that amazing? It's not based on merits. It's not clocking up so many prayers or so many good deeds that you have done. It's not about that. It's about saying, Jesus, I believe in you. I put my trust in you. I'm a sinner, but I thank you that you came for me. And so as the band comes up and gets ready, I just want to give us an opportunity right now. Let's close our eyes and just stay in an attitude of prayer this morning. I just want us to focus on what I have spoken this morning and say, and if you really know in your heart that you have heard something today that has resonated with you, and you say, Lord, I just want to give you a chance in my life, then you can pray this prayer with me. I want to include you in this prayer with me this morning. If you want Jesus, I want you to articulate this prayer, and it is by faith. Because this miracle happens by faith. Simple faith in Jesus. So you can pray this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you. Forgive me for all my past, for all my sin. I repent of all of that, and I come to you, Jesus. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I want to follow you every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you meant that prayer, it came out of your heart. The Word of God says the moment we do that, we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus rose from the dead, the Bible says we are saved. Hallelujah. And you can pat yourself on the back and say, thank you, Jesus. I'm your child now. I don't belong to the devil anymore. I don't walk by his principles anymore. I walk by what your word says. Father, I thank you this morning for those who gave their lives and their hearts to you today. And I ask you, Jesus, that you will enable them in this week to live that life for you. Give them, Lord, the victorious power that's in you. God, cause them to walk this walk with excitement, to knowing that you are with them. Father, I thank you, Lord. Father, keep them. Lord, keep them in the center of your will and plan and purpose. And Lord, I pray you'll bring good things across their lives, Father, this week, just to show that you love your people. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
You ready to rejoice in Jesus?
Bless the Lord, come bless the Lord, join it in worship, Christ the Lord, and bless his name, his holy name.